Today is August 22nd, 2006. We are at the Amelia Island Museum of History. The following interview is being conducted as part of the Amelia Island Museum of History's Veterans History Project in partnership with the Library of Congress. We are interviewing Gary A. Grable. Date of birth is January 4th, 1943. Place of birth is Indianapolis, Indiana. My name is Robert Hamer, and I will interview Mr. Grable on behalf of the Amelia Island Museum of History. Assisting me is Brenda Bubeck, who will operate the recording equipment. Gary, we're going to be asking you the following questions during the course of the interview. Your period of service, during which conflicts did you serve, what was your rank, where did you serve? But before we start, why don't you tell us about what your motivation was to join the military?
I was at Purdue University, which is a land-grant college, and they required 2 years of mandatory ROTC training. And during that time, they told me that due to my flat feet and poor eyesight that I could never pass the physical. So after my mandatory 2 years, I dropped out of the program. Mm-hmm. And immediately after graduation, got a draft notice, and guess what? I passed that physical. At which point, I went ahead and, quote, volunteered so I could get into the officer candidate program, and that was the motivation.
Okay, very good. And approximately what year was this?
1965.
Mm-hmm. And where did you go to basic and advanced infantry training?
Basic was at, where was basic? I took advanced at Fort Gordon.
Okay.
And basic was at Fort Polk, I believe. Yeah.
Okay. And what was your specialty? What did you go there for?
It was an infantry program.
Okay. Now, you were a second lieutenant at the time, or?
No. They had a program at the time called College Ops Program, mm-hmm. But it required you to go through all of the basic training, and I spent, about 6 months as an enlisted person.
Okay.
And then got entry into OCS at Fort Benning, Georgia.
Okay. How long was OCS?
6 months.
6 months. Okay. Mm-hmm. So after that, you're second lieutenant.
Mm-hmm.
What was your first assignment?
My first assignment, right out of OCS, I got a branch transfer to the Army Intelligence School
at
Fort Holabird, Maryland. Mm-hmm. And that was about a six-month course at Fort Holabird, Maryland. And then my first active assignment was at Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri.
Oh, no kidding. I served there myself.
Oh, yeah.
Basic and AIT. So after Fort Leonard Wood, I see here that your service was in Vietnam. How were you informed that you were going to Vietnam? Is that something you volunteered for, or were you drafted to go there for that?
Since you were at Fort Leonard Wood, I guess you've had some experience with the environment there, and it was a little boring. I was in a training company, engineering company,
mm-hmm.
and frankly, we had very little to do.
Okay.
And Vietnam was building up at the time, and I had just come out of OCS and had all this active fervor, so I did volunteer.
Okay.
At the time for Vietnam.
Good for you. Now, were you assigned to an engineer group when you got over to Vietnam?
No. I was assigned to a military intelligence group,
okay.
which was my basic specialty as an officer.
Hmm. So, as an intelligence officer, what were the kinds of things that you would do? Did you listen in on radio?
Basically, I was assigned to the 519th Military Intelligence Battalion, which was located just outside of Saigon in Gia Dinh Province. And our basic function, the section that I was assigned to, was in tactical intelligence. And that involved analyzing troop movements, analyzing captured documents, and trying to get a, quote, picture of enemy activity and intentions through intelligence gathering.
Hmm. Okay, so your group obviously did a lot of the analysis to provide it to the troops in the field, so
correct.
They would know where they were going. Decisions could be made about bombing runs and things like that. Very good. Did you enjoy that kind of?
I did. It got a little tedious at times, but yes, I enjoyed it.
So how long were you in country over there?
Total of about 14 months.
surveillance. Did you see any action yourself personally?
During, I was there 1967-68 during the Tet Offensive, where Saigon was close to being overrun, and in fact parts of our base camp were in fact overrun.
Right.
So yes, for a period of about 6 weeks there, I saw quite a bit of action.
Okay.
During that time.
So you did your tour. Where did you go after that first tour? You left Vietnam to go somewhere else after Vietnam?
Actually, I was discharged after Vietnam. I had gone to Washington to see the career counselor. I had an intention of making a career out of the military. Okay. But they did offer me 6 months back in the States and then a quick return to Vietnam.
Oh, really?
And I had a wife and a young child at that point.
Okay.
And that option didn't appeal. However, I stayed in the reserves for another 12 years.
Okay. So that's what you did. So you actually left your active duty, went back home, then joined the reserves.
Mm-hmm, correct.
Was it the Army? Obviously, the Army.
The Army Reserve.
And was it an engineer battalion?
Well, I was in about four different units. My civilian employment had me moving around the country quite a bit. And every time I moved, I joined a different unit. I was in a finance unit. I was in a transportation unit.
Sure.
I was in a civil operations unit, just depending on what was available.
Sure.
Where the location where I was.
The National Guard and Reserves are very good like that. If you picked up and had to relocate for work purposes, they were very good to allow you to do those drills and things like that. Going back to Vietnam, while you were there, what were your accommodations like? Were you in a hut kind of thing, or were you in a facility that was a little bit more comfortable?
The battalion headquarters was in a it was an old French riding academy. It was a two-story open building that had balconies around the outside.
Sure.
Masonry construction, no air conditioning.
Yeah,
and
so
it was very, very warm. We had billets there, and then we had outlying billeting for the NCOs and the officers in the community, which was a little strange. And it did create a problem, particularly during the Tet Offensive.
Sure.
These places got overrun.
Yeah. NCOs meaning non-commissioned officers.
Correct.
For the transcript. What was the food like? I'm trying to get a feel for what your life was like there.
I laugh because when we got in country, they told us to be very careful of eating what they called eating on the economy, which was eating the local food.
Mm-hmm.
And they warned us of all the horrible diseases that might ensue. In spite of those warnings, I found it irresistible because I just enjoyed the food. And I did eat on the economy quite a bit. 6 months into my tour, the Tet Offensive occurred, and I was essentially restricted to an area of Army occupation and ate nothing but GI chow and promptly got dysentery.
Oh, really? So he gets used to the good stuff, local good stuff.
But actually, the food was not bad. I mean, it wasn't home cooking, but it was not bad.
What about mail service and things like that?
Mail service was excellent.
Okay, so
it really was.
Yeah. Now, were you married at this time?
I was.
Okay, so you were able to write back and forth. How often did you get mail, do you recall?
Oh, we got mail daily.
Daily,
yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
so
without fail.
So
yeah.
That you would receive and you would be able to
Except
send.
During the Tet Offensive when communications and transportation got severely curtailed. Yeah.
Sure. Did you have any best buddies or anything like that over there?
I had a couple of guys that I was pretty close with.
Did you stay in touch with them at all when you left?
A few of them I've stayed in touch with through my OCS class.
What about leaders? Was there anybody there that you worked for that inspired you at all, that became a role model in it?
No, I would say not.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, no. Okay. What are your feelings in general about the military service? Do you think that going through the military at that time in your life was a positive influence on you?
Very much so. It's a cliche that I'm sure you've heard before. I wouldn't trade that experience. I'm not so sure I'd want to do it again, but sure. I think it was a very valuable experience, and I think a lot of today's young men have a disadvantage in not having the opportunity.
That point comes up an awful lot.
I really do.
Now, in the 60s, when you were in, 66, 67, 68, 69, those were very troubled times back home, too. I mean, How did you all feel about that? Did you get those kinds of words over in Vietnam while you were there, that there was a lot of...
Well, we knew the trouble that was happening at home, and we knew some of the sentiment about the war. It didn't really affect us. We were too focused on what we had to do to be much concerned by that. It was when we, when you picked up a copy of Newsweek, which was available, and you read what was going on, it was disheartening. Yeah. But in general, we were too focused to have it affect us too much.
Now, in what year approximately did you actually leave active duty?
I left active duty, it would have been November 1968.
Okay. How were you welcomed home? Did you feel comfortable when you came back in?
I came back to Oakland Army Air Base in California and had a few days of out-processing, and we were told at the time not to wear our uniforms in town.
Really?
In fact, it proved to be a good decision. The reception was
that bad.
That was the situation in California at the time. Mm-hmm. Not so much in Indiana.
Right.
When I went home, yeah.
Sure. In Oakland and Alameda and San Francisco, those are big military naval type mm-hmm. operations too. So I mean, if you feel a little uncomfortable there, that's a very interesting point. So you were married while you were over there.
My daughter was born while I was overseas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And so when you came back out, you were discharged from active duty. You stayed in reserves. Where did you go first? What locations? You worked, drove you to different places, you said?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And what did you do for work?
I was with Container Corporation of America for about 14 years.
Okay.
And I was a financial controller with them.
And
got moved every 2 or 3 years, I guess.
So all within the same company, you just took different assignments mm-hmm. the same.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So what brought you to Nassau County?
I had visited Nassau County when I worked with Container Corporation and had come to the local mill here. And a job opportunity presented itself with a competitor, Rainier. And that opportunity was here. And I knew the community. I looked for the opportunity to come down here. So when was that, 1984, I think?
Okay.
I came down here.
How long did you stay with Rainier?
About 5 years.
Okay. Yeah,
about 5 years.
Did you go to a competitor, or did you retire?
No, my wife and I started, we purchased an operating business here in town and ran that for about 10 years and then retired.
An operating business?
My wife and I purchased the 1735 Bed and Breakfast.
Oh, really?
And Amelia Island Lodging Systems. And ran that for about 10 years.
How'd you enjoy that kind of lifestyle?
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of work. Mm-hmm. But it was great because we got to meet an awfully lot of folks, and some wonderful folks from all over the world, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. Did you find the business tough to run? Were you on a lot?
As long as you didn't mind 18 hours a day, 7 days a week, it was great.
When did you sell the business?
Must have been about 10 years ago. So it would have been, 96, something
okay.
like
yeah,
that,
96.
Yeah.
Did you go into another line of work at that point? Or
no, we retired. Actually, I'm working part-time, but it was retirement.
Good for you. So what are the kinds of things that you do here now? Do you, for hobbies and things, or organizations that you
belong to? Well, I've I've been into motorcycling for some time, and I've been active with the Gold Wing Road Riders Association, motorcycling, fishing. You know.
Any military organizations at all that when you came out and got here, Legion, VFW, anything like that?
No, other than my my association with my Fort Benning OCS group.
Okay, so you have like reunions and mm-hmm. things like that? Mm-hmm. How often do you do the reunion?
Well, about every 5 years they have one.
Do they move all over the country?
No, they always go back to the Benning School for Boys.
No kidding. Great. We're going to go to pause right here. On tape here, because yes. This is good. Okay, Gary, before we wrap up, it's been an excellent interview. I'd just like to get ask you if there's anything else that you'd like to talk about, expand on, that maybe we didn't ask earlier.
Yes, there is. What I'd like to do is to give a thank you to the veteran services, particularly the services that I'm receiving. I was wounded and did have some medical problems, and through a friend of mine got introduced to some of the VA services that were available that I had kind of ignored until just a few years ago. But I've been associated with the VA hospital in Gainesville, Florida, mm-hmm. and the outpatient clinic in Jacksonville, Florida. And I know some of the folks hear about some horror stories with the VA, but that has not been my experience. Those folks are wonderful, and they're dedicated. The quality of service can't be beat. Mm-hmm. They service a great number of individuals, so there may be some delay in getting the service, but the quality of service and the attention is just wonderful.
And what was the nature of your injury?
I lost an eardrum, and as a result had some hearing loss, and then I also got dysentery, which left me with some stomach problems, an Asiatic disease they call sprue.
Okay. And this was the eardrum injury was a result of artillery explosion?
It was a grenade explosion during the Tet Offensive when we were involved in an evacuation of a bivouac area mm-hmm. of some of the personnel that were assigned to our battalion.
Sure. What about, going back to the VA hospital a little bit, are they helping out, from what you've been able to see by going or being affiliated with it, are they able to help out Vietnam vets that have had stress syndromes and things like that? You know?
They have an outreach program, I understand, that's very active, and they are... It's available, I know, to any veteran who would need that service.
I just read somewhere recently about Agent Orange and how at one time the military or the VA would only cover those veterans that were in country. But now they've expanded it that you didn't necessarily have mm-hmm. to be in country.
Yeah, I read that.
Do you know anything about that at all? When Agent Orange was prevalent, were you aware that that was being sprayed?
We were aware that they were using sprays. Mm-hmm. The nature of them and certainly the impact, the longer-term impacts, we had no idea.
Now, Agent Orange is a defoliant. Is that what it is?
I understand that's correct. So basically what it is.
Get the leaves and things off mm-hmm. the tree so you could see the enemy a little bit better. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you, this has been a great interview. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Oh, it's been my pleasure.
Thank you so much, and you're a patriot. Really, I appreciate you.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you.
Taking it.